Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I'm here, so.
I'm Shea Gibbs-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
Howdy, Oklahoma.
My name is Chet Holmgren, and I'm down to dunk.
Dead gum.
I'm Josh Giddey, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort,
and I'm down to dunk.
Is that like you eat them together?
Everybody tells him to get the bag of burgers.
I need like a straw. Like.
Howdy. I'm an artist on the court.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
My name is Kenrich Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
It might be Aaron Wiggins.
This is a troll. It's a troll. I'm trolling.
Howdy, Papa.
Because I think it would take away from who he is, you know? Yeah.
I love Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma to death.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Perfect. Good. Very good.
I like the hat.
You like the hat? Yeah.
Vava.
This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk. I've been doing a lot of dunking.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me today will be Mikel Ibarra. He's going to be joining me shortly. But you just got me for just a little bit here. We are going to break down the win in Memphis for the Thunder. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming schedule. We're going to talk about the standings. We're going to talk about some stats. First, let's just take a look at this game from the Thunder at Memphis. Interesting game. And it's actually a pretty fun game of back and forth with the Thunder against Memphis, who the Thunder just pummeled not that long ago, like a week ago. And this time was a little bit different. The Grizzlies actually showed up in this game. Part of it was they had Desmond Bain in this one, who had 22, 3, and 7 in this one. Luke Kennard actually moving the ball quite a bit better. He had 9 assists in this one. The whole starting lineup just passed the ball pretty well. They also just shot the ball well, 40% from 3. They hit 18 threes. Very nice. Very nice from the Grizzlies and stayed in this one. Also, I think we have to remember this too. NBA teams have pride, right? And they have memory. Okay. And those two things absolutely matter. Oh, somebody's letting me know that the sound is not good. That should be better now. Thank you guys for alerting me in the chat. Should be better. Let me know if it's good. Give me a little thumbs up if that's better. And actually like the page if it's better. But yeah, I think we need to remember that that NBA teams have pride and memories, especially when they get to play this like the same team within just like a few days. It's rarely ever just two blowouts in a row. Very, very rarely. And especially when they got guys coming back. I think this was like the first time that Desmond Bane and Gigi Jackson had played together this season, because Gigi didn't play a whole lot at the beginning of the season. He was playing with the Hustle for the most part. And so it's certainly the first time that they've ever started a game together. So I thought that was good. Jake LaRavia actually hitting shots. He made a really impossible shot. But those kinds of things are going to happen. For the Thunder, obviously a strange game for Shea. 27-3. It's funny whenever you have a superstar that's so good that 27-3 is an unusually bad game for him. The slack was picked up by both Chet and J-Dub. In this one, J-Dub 23-7-6, a steal and two blocks. J-Dub is ridiculous. He's been really good. And then Chet 22-11-2 with a steal and three blocks for Chet. I thought he played really well. A lot of attention to Giddey in this one, again, for kind of the same reasons, taking a lot of threes. And I get it. A lot of them are threes that most of them are like in rhythm, got to take them kind of threes to me, it's more on Giddy and the offense, not for him to necessarily drive when he gets the ball, but to just not be put in that position over and over again. Because he's been more of a screener. He's been a guy that goes into the dunker spot. He's been, honestly, I would love to see him just set better screens and like for that to be a better part of his game, because I think when he is a screener and is a passer out of screens even, he's pretty good. And if he can just become a better screener, I think that will actually help him quite a bit. And then Dort was awesome in this game. 12 points on 3 of 6 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 5 boards, 4 assists. I thought Dort was really, really good. Played 31 minutes in this one. So, good game overall. One that it felt like the Thunder were going to kind of have to steal there at the end. They got enough distance from them in the, at the end of the fourth there where it didn't feel like it. They stole it from them. But, you know, it's one of those games. 82 games is a lot. You know, they lose to the Pacers last week. That was kind of a bummer. And then they go in and play a really tough Memphis team that has a lot of pride. Like, I think people forget this Memphis team is supposed to be really good this year. They were supposed to be really good. And I think that they're going to be really good next year. And the West is already close to impossible. You look at it today, and it feels great. People aren't talking enough about how crazy it is that the Thunder at the top of all of this, because you have like this, these teams clumped up, and it's LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, you know, Sabonis and Fox, you know, Zion Williamson. You have the guys with the Clippers, with Kawhi and PG. I mean, this is really tough, really, really tough. You know, Houston went and spent a ton of money in order to become a team that was in the play-in, and they didn't even get there by spending tens of millions of dollars. Right, Mikele? Mikele Bear is with me now.
Right. Like, spending millions of dollars to be a play-in team doesn't sound like fun at all. Sorry for the delay. I've been quite busy today. It's no, been one of those days.
It's all good. I hear you. I'm just talking about how tough the West is and that Memphis is going to be in the mix next year, which means that like one of these teams that's in this top 10, that if Memphis is going to be good, and by the way, Houston and the Jazz also want to be good next year.
That I believe a little bit less, but okay.
Houston definitely wants to be in the mix next year.
Yes.
I mean, definitely. Houston, so yeah. There's two teams. Like, who's going to be out of it? Because I know that somebody's going to be out of it. Like, somebody's going to fall out because of injury. Maybe it's Phoenix. Maybe it's Sacramento. Who knows who it's going to be? New Orleans could, you know, they could see a world where that happens with any of those teams. But if they have relatively good health, like, which team is dropping out? Because Memphis is going to be better than some of these play-in teams. I would say Golden State, the Lakers, maybe those are the two teams that just drop out. Mm-hmm. But Memphis is going to be better than those teams. So, like, the West is really crazy tough this year. It's going to be even crazier next year. And it is probably undersold what the Thunder have done so far this season to be number one in the West here on March 18th. When the West has been absolutely insane. I mean, they have the third best net rating in the NBA. They're one of now three teams that have a six or better net rating, which is kind of like one of the thresholds that people say if you clear plus six net rating, then you are a title contender. They're one of three teams.
Which is Boston, Mini, and OKC, basically.
Yeah, right? That's it. So, I mean, it is... is almost undersold because people just want to talk about their age or how they're not big enough or they're going to get out physical by somebody or they just haven't played well when they're in LA this year. And that's where almost like tons of media people are that want to talk about this stuff. But there's not enough people, I don't think, talking. People have talked about the Thunder, but people aren't talking about how crazy it is that they're doing it in this Western Conference, that they're at the top of this Western Conference, still top five in both offense and defense. Number two in net rating. I mean, this is a really, really good team. Jay King was talking about it today on Basket Buds, how one of the questions that I posed to the guys was, if Denver doesn't win the West, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, And Jay, actually, to his credit, like, believes that the Thunder could do it. And, I mean, to me, they're the answer. If you're looking at a team that's going to beat Denver, and you're looking just statistically, like, they are, to me, the obvious team that could do it.
Yeah. I think that sometimes I hear people talking about OKC like they are a nice story. And, mm-hmm. I mean, sure, Sacramento was a nice story last season. They won 48, 49.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly.
They were, I believe that they were third in the West at 48 wins. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice story.
Yeah.
OKC is 47 wins and 20 losses, and they have 15 games yet to play.
Yeah.
This is not a nice story. This is a team that is imposing its will against the majority of the league. And I think that there are obvious stuff that OKC can do in the next 5 years to correct. One thing is waiting for these guys to be a little bit more experienced and old. That is one thing that they have to do, and just to improve the chemistry of this team, which is already bonkers for a team that is basically playing together from, well, 2 years, I would say, with Chet being here like 12 months, basically. Mm-hmm. This is just insane. Mm-hmm. So I think that people have to start, instead of dissecting OKC for what they can't do well, like having Giddy alone in the corner, or not rebounding extremely well, or not being physical enough against Anthony Davis and Jokic, can we just do the opposing exercise? Like, who's actually stopping Shea and Dub when they are playing together at a high level?
Yeah.
What happens if Chet starts bombing from three? What is the what happens if Dagnall decides to stop like Giddy with the starters from the first game of the playoffs, and you have to guard Cason Wallace instead of Giddy mm-hmm. outside of the three-point line? Mm-hmm. What is your scheme then? Because I think that whenever OKC played the Lakers, I think that the Lakers played an extremely good game. Like, very good three-point percentage. AD was hitting a ton of stuff. They were playing super-duper hard defensively. What I'm trying to say is, in order to roll over, like they did against the Pacers, the Mavericks, the Pistons, the Spurs, it happened maybe 6-7 times. Or you have to be almost perfect mm-hmm. in order to beat the Thunder. Mm-hmm. This is the story to me. Like, you need to be extremely good. If you miss one guy, like Dallas, then yeah, that you need to play even better. And it's not enough. Because OKC played a quarter and a half against the Luka-less Mavericks, and it was basically done.
Yeah.
So can they lose in the playoffs in a dramatically and comically bad way? Sure. It can happen.
It will happen to somebody that is really good. It's going to happen to somebody that's really good, because there's going to be eight teams that make it. Well, you know, two of Dallas, Phoenix, Warriors, Lakers, who are there today, and you know, Sacramento could fall back into it right now. Two of those teams are not going to even make the playoffs, so that's going to be an embarrassing fashion for them. Mm-hmm. And then only half make it to the second round. Like,
yeah,
some. I mean, if it is, let's say it's Dallas and the Lakers make it, that means Phoenix and the Warriors go home and don't make the playoffs. I mean, that's crazy, and that is totally possible. Because in the 7-8 matchup, you know, between Dallas and Phoenix, it's one game. Right now it's Dallas-Phoenix.
Next, which is the next very interesting and important thing. Like, suppose that Phoenix and or Golden State and or even the Kings or the Lakers, what if they miss the playoffs? What if LeBron doesn't have an appetite for another season where he risks not to make the postseason?
Yeah.
What happens then?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Like, is AD up for another round? Are the Lakers just, like, trying to find out another superstar that is coming their way? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe so. But it's taking, like, if one of those teams loses in a bad way, then it's not a guarantee that they will try to go at it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, Phoenix is an explosive situation. It can happen. Anything can happen.
The problem is they've given away all their picks. And this is what we're going to start to see in this next era. We're already seeing it with Brooklyn, who, first shout out to Clarky Boy, who gave us a super chat. Thank you, Clarky Boy. We're already seeing it with the Nets, who stink. They're 26-42 right now. They're sit in 11th. They're not making the postseason or the play-in tournament. They're not making it. But they're not going to completely tear it down either because they don't have their own picks. You know, what does Phoenix do, who has given away their picks to be this team? And they have the problems that I think a lot of people foretold, was that like they have nobody that gets downhill. There's nothing easily created for them. And that's a problem. They don't really have a point guard. That's a problem. You know, they're still scary because they have KD and Booker. But I don't know. I mean,
a Nurkic believer, huh?
I mean, he's actually been good for them for what he is. He's played a lot of games. He's been pretty productive. He's doing the best he can on defense. Like, he's doing the things you need him to do. But you look at, I mean, that play-in tournament is going to be insane.
Yeah.
And you could argue, too, that maybe if the Thunder wind up in second, you know, it may be better for them in the playoffs because you completely avoid the Lakers if you're the second at this point.
You really want to avoid the Lakers? I mean,
I don't. Yes, you know me. Like, I've been like one of the only people that's like, I actually think they could beat the Lakers. But I'm saying, like, the general public tends to believe that the Lakers give them the most trouble. And they have been the team that has given them the most trouble this season.
Yeah.
You know,
and I said that a week ago.
AD in particular is tough. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the AD is scary for OKC.
Yeah.
LeBron is quite scary for anybody. But I do wonder if they can have the same production for seven games. Whereas, I mean, I watched part of Denver against the Mavs, and I know that this is recency bias, but it's been an entire season where Dallas can go hot for 10 games and then extremely cold for 10 games.
Yeah.
If you get them on a 10-day run, they are hard. I mean, I know that OKC has the tools to guard them because you have Case and you have Dort on Kyrie, but last time Kyrie was guarded, I think in a pretty good way. And it just didn't matter. I know that Dallas didn't win the game, but Curry is getting to a level of maybe 5 years ago where it was just, I'm going to score no matter what.
He looked great in OKC, man. He was awesome.
He was cooking. He was just hitting stupid shot after a circus shot and then again a stupid shot again. So it's, I mean, all those teams, and of course, the Suns. Do you really think that the Suns can't have like seven games where they are just better than you? Of course they can. They have KD. That alone.
This is the West, man. This is like the whole West, though. That's the thing. It's like you can go through every single team. It's like, would you really want to play New Orleans? Like, no. Like, you really want to play the Clippers? Like, maybe the Clippers right now, but not the Clippers the way they looked like 5 weeks ago. Yeah, you really want to play.
But the heights of the Clippers. And the heights of the Kings. Mm-hmm. I mean, this all sounds very stupid, and I'm sure that something very bad happens, and I will be deemed as responsible for this. But you know, I've seen Sacramento multiple times. I've seen the Clippers multiple times.
Yeah,
I think the best version of OKC can beat them both, even if they play at their best of their capabilities. I'm not sure if I can say the same about Phoenix. Does it make any sense to you?
So, what do you mean? Say what about Phoenix?
No, I mean, if OKC plays at the best of their capabilities, I think that Denver can still beat them.
Yeah.
I think that Phoenix can still beat them.
I think you're overthinking Phoenix. I think if the Thunder play to their...
KD can just go Nova for seven games and it's
so
just...
can Shea. So can J-Dub.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But I have, let's put Phoenix on hold. I think that against Sacramento, you can say, okay, even if they play at their best, I think that OKC is much better.
Yeah.
You don't need the best of the best out of OKC to beat Sacramento. This is my point. Instead, to beat Denver, you need the best of the best.
Yeah, with Denver, I think, honestly, Denver is like the only team that you have to be your absolute best to beat them.
Depends. I don't know. I don't feel the Clippers at the same level of the Nuggets. I feel that they are very good. I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, Phoenix has an okay defense. Their offense is also, it's pretty good. It's okay. Like, they have a +2.5 net rating this season. Yeah. KD and Book went crazy against Denver and pushed them a little bit, but still, it didn't ever feel like, oh my gosh, the Suns are going to win this series last year. You know?
Yeah. Denver has the perfect defender for KD. Like, Aaron Gordon is that guy.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon is just awesome.
Yeah.
And he doesn't shoot threes. So it's, you can have a great defense and offense if you have a guy like him who doesn't shoot threes. And this is why I think that the Giddy discussion should start at the defensive side of the court first and not on the other side. Because people are guarding Aaron Gordon in the same way. It's not a better shooter than Giddy. He's shooting probably worse than Giddy this season. I think it's below 30%. Mm-hmm. And teams will scheme up for that. It's just that Gordon is a great cutter, and it's on defense, it's not even a question. He's their best defender. The problem with Giddy is that you are also paying him on defense.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why I went into this Giddy tangent. But okay.
It's just like a magnet for us, you know, to go back in. Yeah. I wonder too about, I just wonder about Durant. He's played so many minutes.
Yeah.
He's played 2,200 minutes this season. Eighth. He's eighth in minutes played this season.
That seems a lot.
He's 35 years old. Like, there's not, I'm trying to look and see.
Super young, 35 years old.
Super young, 35 years old. I mean, LeBron's.
Do you feel old, Andrew? No. We're young. So he's younger.
Yeah, but I also haven't played. Like, how many games has he played? 66 games? 61 yeah. games? I have not played 61 NBA games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, like I'll go work out at the gym for an hour, and that's not the same as playing an NBA game. You know? I mean, it's a lot for a 35-year-old. And LeBron has been able to withstand all of it. But like you're seeing like the effects of it, I think, with guys like Kawhi and PG. Like Kawhi and PG have both played 61 games this year, 2,000 minutes, and like they have not been good. Their defense has been one of the worst in the league since the All-Star break. I mean, I just think it's a lot to place on these guys, especially Durant. I just wonder if he can really carry a team. Like we fear these guys until you don't anymore. And at some point it's going to happen. And maybe it happens later and later with these guys, but certainly at like 35, like the stars of the past were just not able to carry teams like they were, you know, before.
Hey, LeBron did not win the title last year. So,
it's true. He did not.
Yeah. He was probably better than this season, or at least at the same level. So,
yeah. So some of the worst defenses since the All-Star break. Utah Jazz, the worst at 120. The Wizards at 120. The Los Angeles Lakers at a 120.4 since the All-Star break. The Dallas Mavericks at a 118.8 since the All-Star break. The Chicago Bulls at a 117, and then the Clippers at a 117. Phoenix Suns at 23rd at a 115.
Where is OKC in that ranking? Still top 10?
The Thunder are 7th.
7th, yeah.
I mean, again, like people want to talk about the Mavs or the Suns or whoever else. Like these are current, since the All-Star break, really bad defenses. Really, really bad. And the Thunder, who have had a few games where, like, man, they're really not playing up to their potential. They're still 7th in defense.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's just kind of what I'm talking about, is that I think we're just not at the point yet where people fear the names that are on this team yet. Because they haven't done it. And they have to do it. Like, they have to go and do it. You know, you know, over the next few years, they're going to have to actually go and do it. You know, you can be a good regular season team, but until you prove it in the playoffs, you really have to prove it. Like, you have to go prove it. But you look up and down the West at the names, you know, Jokic, Kawhi, Luka, you know, Kevin Durant, you know, Steph Curry, LeBron James, like, all those guys have done it. Like, those are just names that you, like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, can we actually do it? You know, Anthony Edwards has to go prove it, you know?
Yeah.
That's a guy who has to go prove it. He hasn't proven it yet. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to go prove it. Zion Williamson has to go prove it. You know, you look at Sabonis, like, people discredit Sabonis. Why? Because of the postseason. He has more triple-doubles than Jokic does this year. I mean, he's been really, really good for them, Sabonis has. Should have been an all-star, was a complete snub, has been amazing. But people don't fear him. People don't mention him. People don't vote him into the all-star team. Why? Because of the way he plays in the postseason. And so the Thunder, I mean, right now, I could sit here and make the case that the Thunder are the team to fear the most in the playoffs. In the Western Conference. I could sit here and make the case. There is a statistical case for it that exists because of the way that they shoot, because of the way that their bench performs, because of the way their starters perform, because of different things that they haven't done enough this year, where you played the starters without Giddey and put Isaiah Joe in there. They haven't done that enough this year. But that's something that they could just bring out into the playoffs. You could do the same with Cason Wallace. You know, you could play the Jay Will lineups. Jay Will is like one of the few players on Cleaning the Glass that has like a very positive on-off. What if you played him instead of Giddey? Like, there are a lot of things that they have done in little spots here and there that could become staples of the way that they play in the playoffs that they haven't done yet. But you have to go do it. And the reason that people don't talk about it yet is because they don't have the name recognition attached to the success. And I believe that this team is going to get there. I believe that this team, in 3 years, will have that fear attached to them. I think that this Thunder team could be the team of the next decade. I think that they have the juice to become the team of the next decade. This is the second youngest team in the league, and they sit at the top of the Western Conference. They continually are a top 10 defense in almost every spot of the season. And like you were saying this the other day, you can't tell me that Chet Holmgren's not going to come back a better player next year. You can't tell me that.
Yeah.
He's going to come back a better player next year. Think about how much better J-Dub is this year compared to last year. I mean, he is so much better. I mean, since the All-Star break, J-Dub is 19 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, a steal and a block, shooting 50, 43, 85.
Yeah, that's insane.
He's 22 years old. You can't tell me that he's not going to come back a better player next year. The drive of Shea, J-Dub, and Chet to become better. And I also think like Cason Wallace has that kind of that same thing. One thing that we talk about like with the Thunder is like the way that they draft. And before it was athleticism and length and size for position. You know, this time around, it's skill level is like the probably like the top notch one. But the thing that they have really zeroed in on and that they've been really successful at finding is the level of competitiveness that these guys have. Mm-hmm. They've done an outstanding job in like these interviews or however they do it with identifying a competitor that is just a notch above everybody else. Shea is that. J-Dub is that. Chet is that. Dort is that. Cason Wallace is that. They've done a really good job of finding
these guys.
And Jang
is that. Whoops. Sorry.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to take swings. Sometimes you got to take swings too.
By the way, I don't know if we ever discussed the J-Dub trade in this framework, but I was listening this morning to the Sam Vecenie podcast that he did basically on Jalen Williams.
Yeah, it's not great. You should go watch it on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah. I'm a mad person, so I was running and I was listening to it and trying to picture in my head the possession.
Yeah.
It was a very nice exercise. And they were saying basically that OKC decided to use the 11th pick on Jang instead of J-Dub because mm-hmm. if something weird happened with the trade and it was resigned, then J-Dub was not theirs.
Yeah.
And this makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. I believe that's accurate.
Yeah. Which makes total sense. So we should really never, ever frame the trade in terms of Usman Jang, but in terms of J-Dub.
Yeah. I mean, it's been reported that like J-Dub is the guy that they wanted in that spot.
Yeah.
If they could have their choice of the two, even at the time of the draft, this isn't like a hindsight, like, well, of course.
No.
That
yeah.
would have been the guy.
But the reason why, it's clear, it's obvious, it's nothing difficult, but it was the first time that I heard that, it was Bryce that commented it. And I think that it's a clean way to say it. Yes, J-Dub was the target, but why they didn't pick him, it's because, mm-hmm. yeah, a trade can fail.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I also just, you know, in the back of your head, you wonder, this is something they didn't say, is like, do you just want it to be a part of the Paul George trade? You know? Like, don't you just want it to be a part of the Paul George trade? Because like now you just get to stack Shea and J-Dub. And if that was it, it'd be like that was an absolute steal. But it's not over yet. The trade is not over yet. And if they somehow are able to get somebody else, you know, I mean, it's already crazy. Like those two.
That is greedy Andrew talking.
Oh, dude, it's going to get even worse. It's going to get so much worse. I'm going to be insufferable by the end of this thing. Because the thing that Sam did that is going to... That teams have not done before. Like, this has not been done before. Teams have done rebuilds. This team did a rebuild. They didn't do it like this the first time around. It was not done like this the first time around. They didn't stack all of their picks pushed back to when they're going to be actually good. They didn't do that. Yeah. No team has ever done this before.
Yeah, come on. The Warriors are doing that with the two timelines.
Sure. They actually, like, it's almost like pushed too far. It was like the second timeline was almost pushed too far back, you know?
Yeah.
And they also just picked the wrong guys. They just picked, yeah. They absolutely picked the wrong guys. But, you know, this, it just, it's never been done before. And so it's going to become pretty insufferable. Also, you know, we always talk about how much we want Franz Wagner. Do you know that Josh Giddey is shooting better than Franz Wagner this season?
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird. It's also something that I don't really trust. I know that it is happening. I'm not sure if we should project it.
I mean, it's not. I'm not saying that project it. I'm saying it's something that is, not something that just like will be in perpetuity.
It is something. It is something that is happening. I watched too little of the magic to really understand why this is happening. But I answered a very interesting question on the Dream Team, and I want to pick your brain about it. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about the best is yet to come for the Thunder, mm-hmm. and we're talking about J-Dub. And the question was, hey, how many players of the past four drafts would you pick before J-Dub? Hmm. And I ended up with one player.
One?
Of the past one and four, a half, considering Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
And maybe, but basically I said, okay, with Ant, I think that I'm forced to say yes because I love him. I like him as a player. And probably for the next 2 years, 2-3 years, he will be better.
Yeah.
With Chet Holmgren, I'm in love with the type of player. I think that it allows you to play a different way. And so I said, okay, I will pick him probably just a hair above.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I said, okay, the other two guys that I'm thinking about mm-hmm. are Paolo and Tyrese Haliburton.
Hmm. I mean, if you're drafting just talent alone,
yeah,
there's probably several players that I think that you could point to. But if you're talking about
players
fit,
that are, you can evaluate their impact on the league as of today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Wimby.
Oh, of course, yes, Wimbanyana. Yes, yes, yes. Wimby, I put above. Yes,
Wimby's it. I mean, I agree with you that I would take Chet just because mm-hmm. of the versatility, the shot blocking, and the 3-point shooting. Like, he's an unusual player. Like, you can't get those kinds of players. Like, you just mm-hmm. you just can't get them. They're basically like a handful that exists in the league. It's Chet, it's Wimby, it's Porzingis, it's who else?
Yeah.
You know. Like, there's not very many of these guys. They're really tough to get. Paolo, I wouldn't even think twice. I'd take J-Dub over Paolo. The efficiency factor is enough for me. And the fact that you can put the ball in his hands and he's going to create something for you. You know, Paolo's really good. The inefficiency is like, I don't know what to do with it. I mean, we talked about it on Slam and Jam this past week. And I don't know, is it because of the cramped offense that Paolo's not shooting well, or is he just going to be like more of an inefficient shooter? I don't know. I'd rather not even mess with it because I think I'd just rather have J-Dub too. Also, like, J-Dub's personality is just like so perfect. He did like this signing yesterday and I went and took my kids to it. He's just like, just the greatest guy too. Like, there's like that factor too. And you go to 2021. Cade, no. Jalen Green, no. Evan Mobley, no. Scotty Barnes, no. Like, I mean, no. Like, this class.
No, nobody from that draft. No.
Yeah. I mean, Scotty's really good, but like, Scotty can't shoot. Like, Scotty shot the ball better this year, but Scotty can't shoot, you know?
Yeah. No, for me, it was not even a question.
Yeah.
The year before, like 2020, you have Ant and Tyrese. I mean, I know that Tyrese is an all-star, and it's an engine. It's there. It's in the same tier for me. I really think that J-Dub has superstar potential.
Yeah, I mean, I would just rather have J-Dub than Tyrese, like, straight up, just because of the defense and the size.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about a team... And I mean, we've already seen this happen. It already happened in Sacramento, where they were just like, you know what, we don't think that we can play Fox and Haliburton together.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, Shea is a a more simple fit because he is bigger and he's a better defender than De'Aaron Fox is. Mm-hmm. And so like maybe you could make it work. But like the chemistry between J-Dub and SGA is so good. Mm-hmm. And I know it's good that I wouldn't risk it. Like somebody has to be so overwhelmingly good. And this is why I wouldn't take Anthony Edwards either. Somebody has to be so...
That I don't know. Ant's a great, great, great defender.
I think he's a good defender. I wouldn't call
him. He can be a great defender.
So can J-Dub.
Yeah.
So can J-Dub. Ant's fun. Ant's fun. I question some of the decision-making with Ant. But mm-hmm. I don't question the decision-making from J-Dub. And I also just question... Well, what do you mean, well?
Well, what? There have been moments. Come on.
I mean, everybody
in the past,
has, everybody
in the recent past.
Everybody has moments.
No, but at least I think that we'd end at least is a discussion that you need to have.
Yeah, I mean, I'll discuss it. I'll discuss rather having J-Dub than him.
I thought that was already hot takey, but you are like even like
I like Ant. I think he's really good. I think he's really
even
fun.
Worse than me.
He's also like an alpha, you know. Like he
that is where I wanted you. I think that this is the thing that makes Shea special. I don't think that Shea is the loud alpha guy.
I think I disagree that Shea is the absolute alpha of this team.
No, wait. I specifically mentioned the word loud.
Yeah.
Shea is not loud.
He's a little so he's louder than he is actually he is louder than he projects that he is. He is louder. I have heard him. I've been back in the locker room and I have heard him be louder than what people would think he would be.
Yeah, okay. That's nice to know. I think it's completely fine with Jada being like rock and roll.
Yeah. I accept the fact that some people would take Ant over him, and I get it. And yeah. And that may make me look dumb to say that I would rather have J-Dub. I think the versatility of J-Dub, yeah. I think he has more versatility. I think that he also, the size thing too, you know, because like Shea and Ant are both guard-sized, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Ant's not going to defend as many fours.
Yeah.
You know, as J-Dub does. Like, the versatility is needed when you already have your alpha guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, having two alpha guards, I think, again, back to, like, the chemistry between the two of them, I think that you have to have, I think if you're going to, and this is the, we look at Denver and, like, what they have, one of the reasons that it works so well is because everything fits so well.
Yeah,
everything.
Even a guy like Porter, Michael Porter Jr., who was an odd fit in terms of personality, maybe.
Yeah,
a guy who seemed like a very wide personality. Let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. He fits so well, and he decided to fit very well.
Yeah.
They paid him, so yeah. But if it's okay, and back to Dub, I think that the most interesting dynamic between him and Shea is that Shea is completely fine having him closing games offensively, scoring wise.
Yeah.
And it's so important. This is also something that
not only is okay with these screens for him.
Exactly. No, I mean, being okay means I'm into this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, Dub is so excellent in this role. Like, he's such an efficient finisher. I think that Shea trusts some of like J-Dub shots more than his, which is something that blows my mind, and just values a better shot. A better shot from J-Dub is the best shot in these moments if the alternative is my contested step at three. And realizing that and empowering J-Dub to be that guy, mm-hmm. it's what makes Shea so special.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can go for... I don't have a doubt in my head that he can, on the right night, go for 70 points, 60 points, something like that.
Yeah, if he wanted to.
He just has to do it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. he goes at his business in a different way. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, hey, we need to win this thing. And yeah. if J-Dub takes the spotlights at the end of the game, so be it. I mean, it's great to have this kind of chemistry. And yeah, and J-Dub is amazing. I mean, I was listening to the last game against Memphis, and sometimes he, at a certain moment, in I think it was in the second quarter, we heard from the telecast him saying, hey, every time we go this way, it's a whistle. And it's such a polite way to say to the referees that he wasn't liking. So there's also these little stuff where, yes, he has a personality, but he's also very, very smart in how he gets his energy into the game, into the confrontation with the refs. I mean, like for a guy who's 22, being so calm, saying, hey, what is happening here, instead of F you or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's insane. I love him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so apparently it was not as high as you on him. So that's good to know.
Man, I just think like the 6'6", 6'7", like 7 feet plus standing reach, you know, combo wing. That can shoot, like he's a really good shooter, and he's a good passer, and he plays defense. I mean, he said it multiple times. He loves Oklahoma City. I don't take that for granted at all, because it's not a guarantee that everyone's even going to say that, you know, that comes here. I just think that there's something special. You know, I've talked to, you know, a friend of mine that said like J-Dub is like actively seeking like local partnership with, you know, businesses, and like wants to be here, you know? And like there's just something really cool about that in particular, where a guy who's like a budding star who, you know, wants to be here and is versatile and fits this team so well. And, you know, and for really the first time, you know, in a long time, like this is like the three best players fit. And then it's about like figuring out the rest, you know?
Yeah.
And they have guys off the bench that I think can help complement. I mean, if Giddy is not having the best series, you know, I wonder if it's just like, hey, this is just not a Giddy series, and we're going to start Kaysen, or we're going to start Isaiah Joe, or we're going to start, you know, J Will, you know, whatever, you know. But, you know, to have J Dub locked in as clearly the second best player on this team, clearly one of the 25 best players in the NBA. And this is only year two. Like, he's not even done with year two yet. You know, I just, and I also think like the high character too is like not something that you should take for granted either. Like, he definitely, he's like, he and Shea and Chet for that matter, like they're like the complete package, you know? Like, they're absolutely the complete package when it comes to NBA players, and the Thunder fans are just outrageously lucky to have this team.
Yeah. Speaking of the future and what lies ahead, what are the chances, in your opinion, that next year the second best player of the Thunder is not Jalen Williams?
I mean, I think that there is a good chance that that Chet has. I mean, people talk about this all the time, that like the times that you can improve the most is in the summer, and you know, this will be his first summer to play, and I wonder if Chet can take like a really big jump, because that's the thing, is that Chet could come back and just be much, much better offensively and like a better rebounder. You know, like those things could happen. You know, I tend to think, though, the most likely outcome is that still J-Dub is the second best player, because I do think like he's going to get stronger. He's going to come back better. Like, he's going to work. It's cool to have the example set already with Shea, who just is an insane worker. And for that to be like the guy that sets the tone for your entire organization. So I tend to believe
this was also a test to understand if you would go into, yeah, you're right, Shea can be the second best player next year.
Shea.
You're not that
no,
crazy
no,
about J-Dub. No. Okay. That's nice.
No. I think it's fun to like imagine a world that could happen, where Shea like slowly becomes like the second best player on this team. But like, we also have to realize, like, we're talking about a top two MVP candidate this season and a guy that I believe you could tell me right now that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is the second best player in the world. And I would believe it. I mean, 30, 5, and 6, 2 steals per game, leads the league in steals. You know, 54, 37, up to 37% from 3 on 3.5 attempts, by the way. 87 from the line, taking almost 9 attempts per game. I mean, this is a dynamic superstar that plays on both ends, that has like the winning attitude, that like wants to be a champion. I think that he is going to lead the Thunder through this era. And like, that's, I mean, I would put a, I'm putting a period there. I think he's leading the Thunder through this era. And it's going to be Jalen and Chet in tow with him. I don't know who else gets to be here for the duration of this. I mean, I would guess Dort might be a Thunder lifer, just the way that he has won. Like, he and Shea are really close.
I'm open to that now.
Are you open to that now? Now that he's good?
Now that he plays like he should have.
God, he's been so the beginning good this of year. This,
no, yeah, I like him. I'm sending my nice comments, my love to him every single game. So I'm behaving. I said I was wrong. I know that if nobody will accept me on the door train, it's fine.
Dude, it left.
You guys
it left
are right.
A long time ago.
I was wrong.
It left a long time ago. You're standing there with your ticket, just waiting for a train that's never coming.
I'm okay with that. sometimes you lose a train. Sometimes you lose a plane, and you have to find your way out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know who's going to be here in the next like 3 or 4 years. I mean, the NBA changes fast, and this team hasn't changed a whole lot, you know, in the last 2 years. It will change, you know. It's going to change. And you know, I really like this team. I really like a lot of the guys on this team. I mean, my hope is that this offseason that they can take care of extensions for guys like Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins, who I think are 2 pieces that fit really well with this group, too. But, you know, the NBA in its ecosystem changes so fast. And if you want better players, you got to give up something good, you know. And as they learn more about this team through the postseason and through another full season with them being a good team, they're going to better understand what this team needs. And they may be able to fulfill it through the draft. You know, they're going to have a lottery pick in this next draft. And there are players that I think are good, that I think are going to be available. And so I think that they could fulfill some of those needs through the draft, and then somebody's not going to play. I mean, even, you know, 2 years ago, we really thought Trey Mann was going to be a guy that was on this team. It would have been baffling to think that Trey was not going to be on this team, and, you know, here we are. So we just, the truth is, like, we just don't know. You know, there's so much that we don't know with what's going to happen with this team outside of really those big three. Like, we really don't know. But I'm curious to see what happens. I mean, there's some guys in this class that I'm actually starting to kind of take to, even outside of Kyle Filipowski. You know, there's some good players. I was watching Colorado. I text you this. Mm-hmm. Tristan Da Silva, he's really interesting. I don't know that he would be somebody that you consider in the lottery. I mean, probably not. But he's been really good for them. And he's a 6'9" wing. He's a senior. Mm-hmm. And he can shoot it, and he you can tell he really thinks the game at a high level. Like, huh? Like, I wonder about him. Like, I wonder what's going on with that guy. Like, he could be a role player on a good team. And, like, particularly, like, he's kind of thundery. So, and he's a big forward.
Old.
He's 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is happening with you right now? Like, suggesting to draft like old guys?
He's younger than Dalton Kincaid. Who's gonna go in the lottery?
He's 3 years older than Furphy.
Yeah, Furphy's like missed almost every shot for like the last 3 weeks, though.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, to players that aren't that good, it happens. I don't know. I'm scared of Furphy.
I don't know. I've watched very little of him.
I'm kind of scared of Furphy, to be honest. Like, I just don't know
how because good of the shooting.
Yeah, because I don't know how good of a shooter he is. And if he's not a good shooter, then he's not an NBA player.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody's going to hit. You know, very obviously there are going to be players in this draft that hit. And man, I am really glad I don't have to make any of those decisions on these guys, because I don't know. Like, I can sit here and watch like clips of Tristan Da Silva and convince myself that he's going to be better than some of the guys. Like, I might take him over Ryan Dunn because he can shoot, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are many players where, I mean, that we scouted, like Isaiah Collier or guys like that, that they don't make sense.
I know.
Sometimes in the past, he was the projected number one pick, Isaiah Collier. Sometimes I don't know why people that clearly know how to do this job, they're, how can you watch two games of Isaiah Collier and project him as the number one pick in the draft?
Maybe his agent, you know, putting a little money in somebody's pocket. Would that surprise you?
No.
Wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise
me. It's a logical explanation.
Would not surprise me one bit. Somebody's gotten a little bit of cash money in their pocket. Same with like Bronny. Didn't ESPN have Bronny James as like a lottery pick or something at some point? It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, but that you know from where this is happening.
Yeah.
This is coming. So it's okay.
We know where the money's coming from. This go around.
No, I mean, it doesn't even need to be for the money in that case. You could understand if that is not for the money.
Yeah. Anyways, I just think that this draft, that they're going to find somebody good. I think they'll find somebody good. And I also think that draft night could get really weird, because I think nobody has like a, there's no like true consistency in like these mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's going to be weird. I think it's going to get weird on draft night.
Like weird, like OKC drafting Zach Edey?
No. I'm not talking about getting like just like a brain injury. Like, no, I'm talking like
poor guy. But yeah,
I mean, the Thunder have just not, even when they miss, you know, they've missed on some of their like big swings, you know, but you know, I just don't think they're going to be afraid to take somebody at if they're at 11. Like, they're not going to be afraid to take somebody at 11 that's like 26th on like somebody's mock draft, you know. And I promise you, the Thunder are not look. If any of you are making a mock draft, the Thunder aren't looking at your mock draft. I can tell you that much. You know, it just doesn't. I mean, I that's the one thing that I would love that I will never ever get to see in my whole life. You know, is like I would love to just see the draft board of Sam Presti. Even like not
why
even
are you
this
saying
year.
No, maybe in 20 years when you will retire as a podcaster, we'll hear a knock on your door, and Sam Presti will say, "Andrew,
here,
this is our big board."
Yeah, this is never happening.
Of the 2021 NBA draft. Hey, I don't want that one. Can I get like 2020? No,
I would take any 2021 of them. I would take any of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would take any of them. Yeah. Brian K says, I have nothing against De Silva, but KOC's analysis cannot be trusted. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is he high on De Silva or something?
Yeah, he has him mocked to the Thunder.
Oh, he does. Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. I have not. I like KOC a lot. I think he's a nice guy. I don't typically read his draft stuff.
Once upon a time, they had like a very nice and colorful guide.
Yeah, I assume they still do.
The format. A company that never existed called ChartSide worked to get nice charts on those guides. Fun times.
RIP ChartSide.
RIP ChartSide, yeah.
Man.
It now lives only in my brain.
Yep.
And probably also some other brain, but not many.
I'm still a Kyle Filipowski guy, by the way. I think he'd be nice off the bench for the Thunder, even though he's not shooting it well.
I'm still on the, we should pay a lot to draft Reed Sheppard and just.
It would kind of rock to have Reed Sheppard on this team, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
I don't care if I have too many 6'4 guys. If they shoot 6'2, 6'3, if they shoot the ball like crazy, it's not a problem. It's really not a problem.
KOC really has De Silva at 11? Is that true?
It's college players only mock draft. So you have no G League, no international.
Oh, well, like that's like the whole lottery, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Here it is, draft 3.0. Yeah, college only. Yeah. Oh, he's got Stephon Castle, number one. Interesting. Cody Williams, number two. Reed Sheppard. Jacoby Walter. Devin Carter. I haven't watched Devin Carter. Collier at 7. Dillingham at 8.
That's already... Like, what are you... Why? No.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I hate Dillingham, but like he's so much better than Isaiah Collier.
I know. Yeah, to me, I don't. Yeah, I would definitely have Dillingham higher. I mean, he's got Klingon at 8, or at 6, I mean.
Where is Filipowski?
Filipowski, where is he? Where are you? Oh, he's down. He's down. He's got Dalton Connect at 10. And then De Silva at 11. Where is he? Johnny Furphy at 12? Wait a minute, did I miss him? No, he's way down here. At 19, he's below Kevin McCullough. He's below Ryan Dunn. Oh, my God. He's below Khalil Ware.
Guys, if you're not watching on YouTube, you should at least go and watch at minute 58 Mr. Andrew Schlicht when he reads.
I can't believe he's got him 8 spots below Tristan Da Silva, and like I watched some Colorado, and was like, oh, that guy's like I actually kind of like that guy.
As a second rounder, as
like a guy that you like trade into the maybe the back end of the first round to get, like sure, but whoa, I'm gonna have to like really collect myself here. I've got to log off this website immediately. Oh, I'm having like a little bit of anxiety now.
Yeah. Shall we go back? Is it for the tripping?
Huh?
Is KOC having issues with it, with guys like tripping other guys?
I don't know.
This is why. I mean, he lost like 10 spots because of it.
Listen, it was dumb. It was an idiotic thing to do. It looked really bad, but he's a really good player. Filipowski's a really good player. And I think he'd really fit in the Thunder ecosystem.
Grayson Allen is going to play in the NBA a lot.
He's been like one of the best role players in the league.
Yeah, and Filipowski is arguably better than him. So,
yeah, he's huge. Okay. Yeah. All right. I've got to go collect myself here. Thanks so much for listening to our show. Hope you guys are doing great. The Thunder have 3 days off consecutively. 1, 2, 3. Which I know that the players are just like so excited, so glad to have some time off.
Yeah.
Tonight, if you guys just have nothing to do and you're in Oklahoma City, the Southern Nazarene women's team, which has Josh Giddey's older sister on it, are playing for the regional championship tonight in Bethany, Oklahoma, which I'll be attending tonight. So if you got nothing else to do, there's not Thunder basketball on, you can go on down and check that game out. I'm sure Josh will be there. Like, if you have any interest in just like being at the same game that Josh is, so should be interesting. Oh, we got somebody sneaking in a super chat, a mega super chat here. Since 2010, 10 teams finished with top 10 in both offense and defense. Of those seven won the title that season. OKC and Boston right now are top 10 both this season while being the two highest in net rating. Thoughts?
Stats and math are saying that OKC has a chance.
Yeah.
And I think that, they have to do it. They really have to go and do it. But again, there is a valid statistic case for that to happen.
Yeah. But yeah, the math says contender. The stats say this is a team that could do it. Also, L-Man's pocketbook is saying they can do it too. So there's that. Okay. Hope you guys have an awesome rest of your day. We'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.